So I'm George Noel Neal. I'm DNN at FreeBSD.org. I'm a FreeBSD developer. And my particular area that I usually work on when I'm allowed to work on what I want to work on, as opposed to being told what to work on, is networking. So a bunch of years ago, it's been about 6 years, I realized, I looked back at the source tree. I had a problem. It turns out I still have this problem, but this is a partial solution to it. So testing network protocols is as hard as writing the protocol in the first place. The code that exists now to test the protocol, like TCP or UDP or precision time protocol, which I'm currently testing, most of those systems are incomplete. They're usually written by graduate students who wrote them sufficiently to get a thesis done, and then they stop working on them. Or they only support a small number of packets, or they're not extensible, or they're written in write once languages. I.e. languages, I don't want to go read other people's coding. And then there's a couple of proprietary systems which are extremely expensive and also immediately incomplete. Anvil was a product that was bought by the guys who do Ixia. And if you've ever looked at the price of an Ixia, you can imagine what the price of a piece of software from them costs. It's very expensive. Or SmartBits. So, you know, on the project, we have a lot of protocols to look at. Bjorn Zeeb has been doing a whole bunch of IPv6 stuff. Today's IPv6 day, so congratulations, we're all, I'm sure, running IPv6. And so there's a whole bunch of testing to be done there, and there isn't a lot of code to do that. There are packages like SCAPI, someone's going to talk on SCAPI a bunch of months, or maybe a year ago now, which are more focused on doing things like trying to do intrusion. But the idea here was to be able to make it easier to just test protocols in the OS without writing another copy of the protocol. So writing network protocol code is hard. I can tell you this because I do it. It's not easy. So one solution to this problem is what I call a packet programming language. And let's see how old you are. Who remembers the pinball construction set? You're all children. The pinball construction set was a Commodore 64 game, and that's what PCS is named after. So the idea was to create a packet programming language. Writing programming languages is hard. It's as hard as writing an operating system, and there are no people who work on both compilers and operating systems at the same time. So that is interesting. The other problem is if you want to make a solution that someone else besides you can use, you'd like to give it to other people. And most people don't want to learn yet another programming language. So you have low adoption rate, and then maintenance would be difficult. So what did I develop? So this is what the packet construction set is. And what it is a Python library for creating new objects that represent packets. So how many of you actually program in Python?
Good, more than two.
So it's a library that allows you to create new objects that represent packets, wire format packets, and then manipulate those objects the way you would anything else in Python. But here's a Python object just like an int or a string or anything else in the language. And the idea behind this was to reuse a well-known language, make it easy to create objects that are packets. Most of the code in the scripts is actually pure Python. There's very little C interfacing. That's probably going to be the next thing I need to do because I need to speed this thing up. But the code that, if you look at the source code for PCS, it's all Python. If you know how Python works, you can look at PCS and understand how it works. Python is readable and easy to work with, and not what I consider a write-once language. So I've got scripts that I wrote 6 years ago, and I can still open them up and read them, and they still make some sense to me.
Question?
Yes?
Can you define write-once language?
Perl. I was trying to be well behaved because I know there are Perl people in the room, but yes, I know. There are people who can write Perl, but they're a very small and rare breed. So Python at least forces people to like do indenting and things like that.
Is there anyone who can read Perl?
Two of you. I would probably say the same thing about Ruby. Right.
Sorry, you're giving an example, but not a definition.
It's proof by example. Proof by example code. So the idea that I came up with was to try to go from this, and this is the when packets, I mean, I suspect some of you all know what an RFC is, but I don't know how many of you sit around reading RFCs or, for instance, program your machine to go and download the latest RFCs every night because you're really a network user. But if you spend a lot of time looking at network protocols, if you look at IPv6, if you look at the protocols I've been looking at lately for time synchronization, they're all laid out in this particular format. This is an IPv4 packet from RFC 791. And there's some interesting features of this, which I'm going to explain if I don't pull the wire out. So 0 to 31, 32 bits across. You know, some of the fields are of rational size, like they're 32 bits. Some of them are not, like the fragment offset, which is 13 bits. Flags, there's 3 bits of flags in here. Type of service is actually 8 bits and it's in the right place for you. In a lot of protocols, especially in the protocols designed before IPv6, fields are not well aligned. And so when you're writing code to test network packets, or you're writing code to decode network packets because you want to understand something about them, you wind up bit shifting everything all over the place. And it's really annoying. What you really want is to go from this. Well, no, you don't really want to go to that. That's kernel code. What you like is this, or at least what I'd like is this. And this is a really simple, this is all that is needed to create, and you never have to do this. In PCS, this is, our running lines, it says, this is the PCS code that creates all IPv4 objects. So if you want to look at an IPv4 packet that you capture with TCP dump, so one of the things that PCS does is it'll open a PCAP file and then give you all the packets as objects, and you can ask the packets about what's in them. All of the stupid stuff is handled here. Like, I can give it a 13-bit field. I can say that this field is 13 bits, and if you are writing a program and you try to put 14 bits of data into a 13-bit field, you get an error, right? You don't accidentally overwrite the next bit. And same thing coming back. If you want to look at the fragment offset in an IP packet, you just ask for the offset. So this means that it's really easy for people to create new objects. So for instance, all of the IGMP, which is the multicast management protocol, all of the IGMP V2 and V3 tests written to test the new code in FreeBSD were written by someone else, not me. And they're all written because this is dead easy. It's way easier than doing it in C. So what is it actually providing? So PCS provides a system for laying out packets, a way to access packet fields programmatically without having to do bit shifting or C. A special set of classes called connectors, which provide easy access to different layers of network protocols. And you'll notice that PCAP and BPF are two of the things that you can have as a connector. So you can, in your Python script, say, I have a TCP dump file, open that file as a connector, and then I can just read from it. And what I get back from it are objects that are packets. So instead of reading lines from a file or bytes from a file, every read returns me an object that I can look at. We'll see what is important.
You're just reading a file or you're reading the streams?
I'm reading a file.
Okay.
Just reading it. You can read a live stream too.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, you can do both.
So you're using access to the PCAP header with the metadata?
Yep. Awesome. You get all of that. So here's a really simple example. Let's say I wanted to do something like ARP spoofing, or I wanted to, you know, test ARP. Or I wanted to do ARP poisoning, for instance. How would I do that? Well, the way I would do that in PCS is I import the packets for ARP and Ethernet. I instantiate a new object, which is the ARP packet, from the class, which is ARP. I set the operation. I can, you know, say this is my ether source, this is my IP source, this is my target address and my target protocol address. And now I can actually take that object and write it to a connector, and it will be transmitted on the wire as long as you're root, right? So same rules apply for TCP dump and anything like that. If you're root, you can open the BPF device, you can open the PCAP device, and you can inject a packet, and it takes less than 10 lines of code.
What's an op one?
It's a request. What was that? Yeah.
Do you have a way of creating an enumeration of the different...
Yeah, Python has that. I just didn't happen to use it. John is...
Just
using chastising. Yes. And PCS now, this is slightly older. PCS now usually has all of those in it because while the socket enumerations exist for Python generally, all of the stuff that's in like the sys include files and the kernel aren't there, so I had to go and cut them up. So now I've got an arc packet. Well, now I need to stick it on top of an Ethernet header, so I create an Ethernet object. I put in a source, a destination, which is a broadcast address, Ethernet broadcast address. Type is 806, which is another magic number. And then I create a chain out of those. I create a connector. This is the interface is an argument I've passed in. And then I just call write. And it will write that packet out to the network. So you can arbitrarily write any packet you like in any format, including this will also work with wireless. So if you want to do things over wireless, you can write over wireless with whatever the wireless wiretap is, the wiretap interface. This works on top of all of that because I don't have to do low-level stuff. I'm using PDF and PDF to do it. Any questions? So what do we do? Handcraft an ARC packet, handcraft an Ethernet packet, chain them together, transmit them, and the whole thing, both slides, is 15 lines of code. Right, so to do this, if you look at ARC output in any one of the kernels, it's longer than 15 lines, and it has more errors. So what can I do with this? Protocol conformance test is the reason that I did it. Protocol fuzzers is the reason I think a lot of other people are interested in this, because one of the things you can do is, now you've got a language like Python, you can write whatever you want into the object that you're going to transmit. So you can call rand, right? It's like, oh, I'm just going to put random stuff into this one field and see what happens to the host on the other side. And you can do a protocol question. Experimental protocols, that actually hasn't been done as much, but it's certainly doable. I mean, it's to me, it's an interesting way to develop protocols that are slow. Right? I mean, Python is not what you want to stick in your kernel, but it's fine for, oh, what happens if I have a format that looks like this, or what happens if I, for instance, a few years ago, there was a security problem with IPv6's router advertisement, and the way I wrote the exploit for that was to actually use this, instead of writing a whole bunch of C code. So other things you can do, if you're security minded, you can trigger kernel panics if you know where to look. Certainly protocol fuzzers do that really well. You can try and get servers to give up their data, interactively interrogate a server. One of the other projects built from this is called the packet debugger, and that gives you the ability to have a user interface that looks like a debugger interface, except that what you're doing is instead of looking at a series of instructions and code, you're looking at a series of packets. So you can get a packet, send a packet to the server, or whatever you recommend. You can use it in Python's command line interpreter, so you can do it by yourself. I mean, you can just sit there and dick with it. And then again, with the focus on testing, you can use Python's unit test module to generate repeatable tests. Right? So once you've got this stuff working, you'd like to actually run them all the time. So this is another problem that I had. Ethereal and Wireshark are lovely, but they are not programmable. There's C Ethereal, there's a few other things. But most things, once you've captured a TCP dump, it's, you know, here's what it looks like, as opposed to let me interrogate it in some interesting way. I mean, if one of the dropdowns in Ethereal or Wireshark has what you want, like show me the, you know, show me the, not bad with the delay product, but show me the congestion window of a TCP connection, that's fine, but if it doesn't have something you're looking for, then you're out of luck. So the idea was to use this also as a library to work with PCAP files so that we could build more tools on that. And actually there's been quite a bit of a backbone on there. So there's a bunch of extensions that use a package called PyPCAP, and that's included. with it as well. So you can tear apart PCAP files. So for instance, when I worked at Yahoo, we would frequently DDoS ourselves. Right? So Yahoo was large enough that if you rolled out a product in one part of the network, you might accidentally DDoS another part of the network, which turns out to be extremely bad. So one of the things I wrote was some code to just try and figure out where packets were coming from in a TCP dump so that we could figure out, were we, you know, was this really a DDoS? Were these all random addresses? Or were they concentrated from, say, another colo within the company? So this is one of the things I think would be useful for people who are, like, you know, managing a network, managing systems. This is where this is useful to them. So the idea is that, you know, look at the source address, see if they're clustered, with 67 lines of code, which I'll show you, and, you know, you pick a snapshot of 9,000 bytes, so you get everything. And then I was not allowed to use Yahoo data, so this is public server data. So what you do is you take, you run the program, and it's like, oh, I've got 5,000 packets, there are 5 unique source IPs, the top 5 source addresses are, and then what it does is it says, oh, hey, look, you know, 49% of your packets all come from the same address. Okay. And so if you see that, then you realize, oh, you know, 50% of these packets come from somewhere within, if that's within my network, then, oh, they're all coming from the same place. Yes?
Is this Python scripts available in
PCS or something? Mm-hmm. PCS? PCS. There's a scripts directory in PCS, and I'll talk about some of the other scripts that come with it. I'm just, you know, when I was developing this originally at Yahoo, and, you know, they used it for some other stuff, almost all the scripts, everything just went into it. And it's on everything's in a public Git server. So here's the reason why I didn't want to write my own language. Computer nerds like to write things from scratch. Everyone who writes an operating system writes a scheduler because they all wanted to write the scheduler. Wrong. This is a bad idea. You know, don't do that again. We did that. So here's why you don't invent your own language. Of all of the stuff in this entire bit of code you're seeing here, the only thing that's really PCS is this one line. And all the rest of it, all the boilerplate, all the control, while, if, else, all the things that really matter in a language. You know, Frank Wilson did that for me 15 years ago, whenever it was. I don't have to do it again. So what is this doing? This is just walking through the file, walking through the PCAP file, reading a packet, counting the number of packets, so we can do averages and things like that. And then it's saying, well, you know, is this an IPv4 packet? Yes. Is this within the network? So if you've ever looked at, again, C code to do this kind of stuff, you know, you're handing this with a mask, and is this within this? This is way easier here. And then the other thing is, it's Python, so I've got a dictionary. So I just stick things in dictionaries, and I can run analysis on those dictionaries way easier. Like having to do all the data structures for that in C, I guess I could do it in C++ if I want to be shot in the face. You know, I could do it, but I'd rather not. And then the analysis is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, 5 lines of code where we just walk, you know, we sort the map, we inverse sort the reverse sort the map, we walk through it, we look at all the addresses, we see if it's in the hit list, and then at the very end we're like, well, you know, just print it out. So it's a really quick way to analyze a PCAP file. So let's go back to this actually. So any questions on that? Any questions on why you do that? Yeah?
Somebody thought up, you know, Pepe? The length, line length.
Oh, yeah. It's on the screen. Yeah, I don't know if I can do it.
What's the rest say?
What does the rest say?
Yeah.
Let's see, it's, I'm not sure. I have to look at the code. We can look at the code tomorrow. So the current status of the code, it's currently 0.7. I basically try to do a release once a year, if I'm lucky. it has built into actually PCS are a bunch of packets that are pre-built for you. So you can look at things that have been looped back to localhost, Ethernet, ARP, all this stuff up here. The IGN PV2 and V3 stuff was recently added by Bruce Simpson. DHCP, DNS, and then there's some other protocols that are added by other people now. So for instance, in the precision time protocol stuff, there are packet formats for that with that package. So if you have that package and you have PCS, then you can do it. You can use it. The other nice thing, or the other thing I did was, since you have a unit test suite in Python, every protocol has a test suite, and so that means you have an example program for every protocol. So if you want to know how, you know, we handle TCP, then you just go and look at TCP test and see what it does.
Is there support for NDP or DHCP v6 or any of the correlating IPv6 friends?
Yes. There should be, and if there aren't, I can get them out if you aren't. But ND6, there's definitely ND6, because we tested ND6. And there's also ND6 includes all the RA stuff, router and ASP stuff. So all low levels of V6 are actually covered. The harder problem to solve, and the one that I haven't addressed yet, is, you know, we can send TCP packets, we can do TCP fuzzing, but for something like TCP, SCTP, any of the stateful protocols, you have to run the state machine. And I've not written the state machine that runs the TCP state machine. And so it's any protocol that's a pure packet protocol, IP, V4v6, DHCP, all of those things. Those are easier, well, they're trivial in PCS. But PCS doesn't create a state machine for you. So you would have to encode the TCP state machine, and I'm resisting doing that anytime soon. I don't probably do it at some point, I just don't want to. So some of the scripts that are in the scripts directory, I talked about DDoS Analyze. You can do a fake DNS query, which is good for, you know, trying to figure out if something's broken in DNS. A couple of the things that I actually are pretty useful. The time I wrote this, there weren't good programs. There are now decent programs to cut and slice TCP dumps. To say, you know, pull out, you know, I've got a TCP dump from like a network port, right? And so it's got all of the traffic, or it's got a lot of traffic. And I just want this one slice. I want, you know, all of the packets that have this source and this destination address and this on these ports. So PCAP slice and TCP slice do that for me.
Does that
include
sequence numbers? Or
yeah.
Anything
get to everything.
Well, I mean, what if you have multiple sessions across
the same IP address? Look, a quad is unique, right? So it'll only pull a quad out.
Okay.
Right?
Half a true MSL could be 90.
You're not being helpful. Yes, that's true MSL, it could be a separate connection. But, you can have info, you can have slice. It's a version of ping. There's a whole bunch of IGMP stuff because when Bruce did IGMP v3, which is a very complex protocol, it just required a lot of testing. So TCP sieve is what sieves out TCP packets. And there's a bunch more scripts in there, but these are sort of the ones that you would want to start with if you were thinking about analyzing data from a PCAP file or generating packets on your own. I suspect most people who aren't doing protocol testing, of the people who worked on it, most of us have been people who were writing C code and trying to verify the C code, and a smaller number of people who have talked to me directly, except for one now that I remember, have used it to tear things apart. Now, it turns out that NetApp did a whole bunch of their network testing with PCS and then briefly told me they had patches and then still haven't sent me them. But I occasionally just get these people who are like, oh yeah, I use this for this really interesting thing. And I'm like, great, send me patches. And they don't send me patches. But I will get the patches out of my app because I know we're going to have this. So what else is there to do. There's plenty more to do. Clearly add more packets, although pretty much the TCP/IP protocols, like the V4 protocols, are all covered at this point in a lot of these SIPs. The idea is to cover 80% of all known protocols, just because my idea of fun is actually reading RFCs and coding protocols. So I'm badly broken. Add more scripts. Try and find a protocol conformance test framework. This is a really big problem because it's, if you've ever used something like ATF, right, which is what NetBSD uses to do their testing, most test suites are extremely good on a single host. You want to test things on this one host. But controlling a foreign host to test it for networking and seeing what's going on is much harder. So I did to find a protocol conformance test framework that works. I mentioned the packet debugger. That's something based on PCS that I've been working on. The packet debugger has this nice ability where you can create a packet. Let's say you're talking to a web server. You can create a packet, you can send it, get the response back, look at it, think about what you want to do, and then just interrogate the server line by line. Do more documentation. There's a manual that exists, but it's incomplete. Manuals are also generated from the source code using DocStream. And the one thing that I didn't put down here is performance. So, an interpret language is not fast. And on a fast machine, this can process about 1,000 TCP packets a second, which is not a lot. So you would not use it to do TCP dump. And it does mean that if you've got a very large TCP dump file, you may have to wait a while for the analysis to come back. Yes.
What do you call large?
A million packets. So, I mean, a few thousand packets, it's a few seconds, who cares? But a million packets is a lot of packets. So, it's not memory, it's all CPU, because the way the internals of the code work make it extremely flexible, and the more flexible I make the code, the slower it ran. So, performance improvement is probably the biggest thing that will go into 0.8 with the next release. And the performance improvement will be things like taking a lot of the manipulation in the back end out of Python and putting it into a compiled language. Or compiling the Python code. So the project itself is hosted on SourceForge. It's BSD licensed. Surprise, surprise. PCS.sf.net, which will give you a link to the Git repo so that you can check it out literally. And more scripts and packets are welcome. And certainly more ideas for what people need to do with it, yes.
What version of Python do you target?
I'm still on 2. In particular because some of this stuff requires SciPy. So the interface to PCAP uses a mixture of C and Python, and it requires SciPy to create the bindings. So Python 2, what is it, 2.8 now? It works on all of 2 from 2.5 or 6 up.
I'm not getting
heavy,
but what versions of previous C are like minimum requirements for this, and does it work on other operating systems?
It'll run on Linux.
Okay.
So,
is there anything to get hold of?
Windows. I've never tested it on Windows. Maybe someone's used it. There's WinPCAP,
right.
And there's Python on Windows, so maybe. I mean, the code is pure interpreted code. So if Python runs on it, and you've got the hooks, then it'll just work. I know it runs on Linux because I know people have done some of their testing on Linux. And I know it runs on FreeBSD, and I am sure that it runs on Open and Net, because there's really nothing special that it requires. Yeah.
Is there anything that allows you to set up like a set of filters that will call pieces of code when it's going through either stream or capture or UI to essentially make some sort of work easier?
So I'm going to start repeating questions because I've been forgetting that. So the question is there any ability to do filtering as you're capturing packets so that you can reduce the amount of work that the code actually does?
But also set filters up the calls of code, like you can identify a particular type of frame with a particular signature call something to code, so then do the code on it.
In particular, and so, okay, the rest of the question is, in particular, are there filters that I could basically call callbacks into the code to do work that way? So the answer to the second question is no, there are no special filters for that. But in terms of basic filtering, yes, because you're using PCAP, right? So I've made it so that the entire PCAP library, including setting the filter on what you're reading, is available to you. So you can, you know, if you open a live connection, which you can do with BCS, you can say, show me only packets coming to port 53, right? And so then you'll just get DNS packets. And that would significantly reduce the load on a live capture. So yeah, you have some amount of filtering, but you don't have, other than programmatically, that, so when you read a packet from a PCAP file, so from a dead file, which is what PCAP calls this, when you read a packet from a dead file, you get the whole packet. And since you're going to walk through the packet, if what you want to filter is for higher level protocols, you can bail when you realize that the next header is not the one I want. Because what you get back is you actually get a
you get a chain
of objects, right? So it's like, oh, you know, this object is IP. Is its next packet? Is there anything in the next packet pointer, in the next packet member? And if there's something in the next packet member, then there's another higher level protocol. But you can check on each one. So it's not really filtering.
So on the decode, it automatically builds the chain.
It automatically builds the chain on the decode. So as it reads a packet from the file, it will decode as much as it can. So if, for instance, if you've got NFS, which we don't currently support, it'll create an Ethernet object, an IPv4 object, a TCP object, and then it will say data. And that's, you know, I don't know. It's there are bytes here, and you can do with them what you will. But the library inside of it has a map, right? They're called maps. Has a map of how protocols relate based on protocol number. So the IPv4 map knows that 6 is TCP, and whatever UDP is, 6 is UDP, and 17 is UDP, and 6 is TCP. And so it's like, oh, it automatically just goes pop, 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 and builds them all up. That's part of what takes so much time. If I did that lazily, the thing would run faster.
I was just going to ask if there was a lazy evaluation of this
thing. Not yet. Like,
so I'm wondering if there's any tools built in, or did we secure anything, or anything with scripts for reconstructing the streams beyond the actual protocol, the network protocol, and starting to get more at the doing meaningful stuff with the data.
So,
like net thinking of net flows, and it's really early on.
So the question is, has anyone done any tools that look at things above, say, the GCP layer? Look at application streams and do something intelligent with them. The answer to that is I don't have anything, although I'm kind of hoping that the guys at NetApp do, because they should. But for TCP, of course, that requires knowing what requires reconstructing the state machine as you go through, right? Like, oh, I got a SYN, I got an ACK, I got a SYN ACK. I'm going to, you know, do that. In terms of if you know you've got a TCP stream and you just want to skim the cream off the top, that would be a really trivial script to write, because you would just take the data that the data member points to in every TCP you found and dump that to a file. And so you could use it, it would be like a 5-line script to say, take this TCP dump and just pull the stuff off the top. But that wouldn't reconstruct NFS or HTTP for you. Yes, you would wind up with retransmitted data and you would have other problems. But you could, but it could be done. Other questions?
Why don't you want to write this paper?
Have you ever? So take your copy of Stevens, which you should all religiously own a copy of Stevens and carry it with you and do this to it, and open the front or back cover of Volume 2 and look at the state machine, and then look at the code in FreeBSD or any of the BSDs that maintains that, and then, like Oedipus, burn your eyes out. And you'll understand why I don't want to do that. It's just not easy. In particular, things like what John just mentioned, retransmits. You know, it's like, oh, okay, I have to figure out this is a retransmit, and it's not like a retransmit is pure, right? Like, I could get a retransmit where the data overlaps, and it's not easy. There's a reason that people have been doing research on TCP for 20 years, because they're not done yet. It's true. Other questions?
Yeah.
All right. That is my talk.